Blog Talk Radio.
Fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, cousins, friends, sons and daughters, uncles, aunts, and grandparents. I'm so glad you're my family. Oh, I'm so glad you're my
Family Matters show here at the BTR World of Inc. Network. It's truly an honor to be here with you today. The Family Matters show is a monthly program here on the BTR World of Inc. Network. It's Friday, February the 21st at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. I will be your host today along with V.S. Grenier. My name is Irene Rose. So we will be hosting the show today. If you'd like to call in and join our discussion, the phone number to call is 714-242-5259. That's 714-242-5259. So it's been a while, hasn't it, Virginia? How are you?
Yeah, it has. I'm good. It has been a while. Real quickly, though, before we get into today's show topic, I just wanted to let everybody know what we have going on here at the World of Inc. Network. As you all know, we're featured host network on Blog Talk Radio, and the World of Inc. Network, even though it's a host network, has multiple shows that we do throughout the week. So this coming Saturday, February 22nd, at 10 p.m. Eastern, we have Willow Cross, and she actually has a co-host, Tracy Ford, that will be joining her for the Paranormal Hour. They're going to have an author and paranormal investigator, it looks like Sable, on the show. So if you're into paranormal romance, paranormal thrillers, or into like Ghost Hunter type TV shows or books, definitely tune into that show. It's always an interesting show to listen to. And then we also have Cassandra Dane with her show The Edge, and that is on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern. And she always brings on various different artists to talk about their works. It's a very edgy show. It's why it's called The Edge. So if you're looking for some interesting authors that aren't your typical romance mainstream or sci-fi fantasy authors, that's a show to tune into to find some new books that you might be interested in. And then Marcia Casper Cook next week on Tuesday, February 25th, will have her show, A Good Story is a Good Story. And she's going to actually have a few authors from a new small publisher called Boku Publishing on her show. So if you're looking for a new publishing house or just some new small indie authors that are breaking into the publishing industry, you might want to check that show out on Tuesday next week.
Well, my goodness, we have a lot to offer on Blog Talk Radio, don't we?
Well,
today we will be talking about a topic that's pretty dear to my heart, and it's called Alone Together. So I will be talking about that in a little bit, just a few minutes here. Before I do that, I want to talk about my new website that we'll be talking a lot about, empowerment tools and products, books, and all that wonderful stuff for teens and their parents on how to empower kids. So the few of the articles that I have on now are topics such as multitasking parents and how that can affect children and teens, of course, the one-click culture, the communication gap, artificial maturity in teens, Generation IY. I talk about all of that in one of the articles, and how that can cause a lot of low self-esteem for teens, and also high arrogance, which can lead to a lot of other problems for teens as well. The other topics I have is teen overexposure and how we can change that for, as parents especially. And the overexposure, of course, that I'm talking about is to technologies, especially, which is, of course, all tend to be over-plugged in, and we're always sort of distracted from each other. And I think as a family unit, that can really have a huge impact on how our kids can relate to one another, but more on that in a little bit. So the website that I'm talking about is www.empowermenttoolsandproducts. I'll repeat that. It's a big, long name. I'm going to try and change that into a shorter one, hopefully in future. So it's Empowerment Tools with an S and Products with an S .wordpress.com. So that's www.empowermenttoolsandproducts.com. So that's something that you can look up to as well. There's going to be a lot more information on that in the coming weeks and months. I'll probably have a lot of e-books up there pretty soon as well because I'm kind of working on them furiously now. So that's all sort of coming. So today we're going to be talking about a topic that, again, as I said, is something I'm very passionate about, and that's alone together. Sounds like an oxymoron. How can we be alone and together at the same time? But I think that's something that technologies of all kinds have sadly caused. And I don't know if it's something, of course, that we have to try and get around and avoid as much as possible. So one thing that I guess we have to try and do in our technological world, since it has changed our views about ourselves and our relationships with others, is to try to have times when we're together openly and honestly and face-to-face, as opposed to through our technologies, of course. That sort of takes us away from all kinds of, you know, just being able to connect and communicate. So I think technologies kind of hinder how we relate to one another, and especially the kind of relating that I'm talking to is the open, face-to-face, compassionate, understanding type of communication that is very hard to do if you're texting or if you're talking on the cell phone. It's something that doesn't happen as often as we would like. And what is worse is that kids and teens learn how to communicate indirectly through these various gadgets. And, of course, then they become dependent on these cell phones and other technologies. And when they get to talking to one another face-to-face in front of a real person, they have a hard time doing that. And this has become a real issue, and there's a lot of people writing about this now, especially one that I've read very recently. It's a book by Sherry Turkle. That's Sherry with an S, Turkle. And she wrote a book by the precise name that I have decided to sort of name our little discussion here today, and it's Alone Together. So she talks about all kinds of different problems that technologies have caused for teens and how parents can actually help their teens and kids, of course, to not get into these problems. She believes, of course, that we have somehow created real long-term difficulties for teens, and then those same problems get translated later on into adulthood with their constant use of technologies. So it is transforming who we are and who our kids are and who our teens later become and adults as well and how they relate to one another. So one of the real difficulties is that, of course, some parents are also just as connected as their children and teens. So parents communicate with their children and teens a lot through texting, and that's not a bad thing altogether. I'm not saying that never communicate with your teens and kids via phones and text messages, because sometimes, of course, that's the only way for us to communicate with one another. For instance, if, you know, your teen is out you know, you have to keep in touch with them that way, or if they have to keep in touch with you because some emergency happened or whatever. So there is a place for those technologies. But I guess if it happens all the time, then it can be a real problem. Right, Virginia?
Yeah, no, and I'm listening to kind of talk about this. You know, I was thinking about my son, who we were talking about before the show, who is a senior this year and graduating in May, and I know, you know, over the last couple of years, he used to be really big into being on Facebook and, you know, texting with his friends and stuff, and he's a huge gamer, and I've noticed probably since his senior year has finished, like, first quarter, that he doesn't seem to be texting on Facebook as much. He says a lot of his friends have actually shut off their accounts. And when he's on the gaming, because they have the instant, you know, texting kind of message chat rooms to talk to each other when they're team, you know, on teams playing games or whatever, that instead of doing that, he gets on the headset and uses the mic so they can talk in real time instead. And it's been a nice change to see happening with him because, you know, it does seem that for a while a lot of teenagers were, you know, having a hard time communicating with each other because they were so used to texting, they forgot how to have normal conversation in person with people, you know?
Right. Yeah, and that's a real problem. You know, I think that's one of the chief problems that Sherry Turkle wants to talk about, too, and that I want to talk about as well, and what I'll be writing about quite a bit and talking about on these shows, too, on and off, is that, you know, we want to have the best of all worlds. We want to have technologies that work for us, but also that, that doesn't take away from the communication that's possible between people that are face-to-face. And I guess my concern, and I've seen this a lot of times with my students as well, is that they'll find it easier to communicate through these technologies than face-to-face. Like if they have to talk about something that's important or something that's a little bit delicate, well, they'll text instead, you know, and they'll use, you know, and text to sort of, you know, get to these topics that they find very hard to talk about face-to-face. Now, again, there's a place and time for that perhaps, but I think they still have to sort of learn how to communicate face-to-face more than just, you know, from a distance.
Here's a question for you, Irene, because I know you talk in, you're in schools and help, you know, in programs at the schools out there in Canada where you live. And this is my thing with technology, because I agree. I think technology is great. I think there's a purpose for it. It has many great uses. But I've noticed this year at the elementary school level in my area, and I'm sure it's all across Utah. I don't think it's just southern Utah. But the schools were getting really big on using, and I know it's a faster way of communicating with parents when there's, like, bulk stuff to send out. But even the teachers that don't send home personal messages or call the parents to set teacher conferences, it's all done via emails now, so all computer-based.
Wow.
And even schoolwork's like that now, because for third grade and up, at my daughter's school, the kids all were given iPads to do homework on. And as a parent, I know that for me, sitting down and having, sitting down and having, you know, the math paper or the spelling words in front of us, you know, to me, you can both look at the sheet easier and have a conversation. And I'm sure those parents go, well, you can do this with the iPads, but I just find when we're on the, on like on an iPad or like a tablet type format, that it tends to, you know, because a lot of them don't have, there's smaller screens. I think they're like 7-inch screens. So the text, you know, is really kind of hard to see. So you have to pick it up and hold it in front of your face to read it and then put it down. And, yeah, we can kind of have the conversation, but trying to work through math problems on that thing is not the same as when it's on a piece of paper.
Right.
And we can both see it clearly. And so I think, and I find that with the iPad, too, when she has that to work on, she tends to not come and ask us questions as much or for help versus when she has, when she has her math papers. So I kind of feel that even though I know people are starting to become more aware that this is a growing problem, that we have now our institutions helping to perpetuate the problem by now making everything schoolwork related on the computer to where, I mean, you think about it. I mean, who wants to go get another chair and try and sit side by side, even if you're at, like, a desktop computer, to try and look at the computer work together?
Yeah.
with your kid.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
It's not.
And so
it's
I think,
not.
And it's I don't. I mean, I don't know if you're seeing if you have that happening. You know, like I said, we're in Canada, but I just feel like to some degree the institutions are actually kind of helping make the problem worse because we're getting so computer based with
yes.
everything.
Oh, exactly. And you know, also there's a lot of schools now here, especially in the part of Ontario that I live in, that that allow technologies in the classroom. So, and it's not just allowing some of the time in the classroom, but all of the time in the classroom. So that can also, you know, cause problems because there's distractions. You know, the whole structure of teaching, which, you know, changes because now you have
mm-hmm.
computers that are sort of vying for the teens and children's attention too. So it's just,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's a real challenge. And I hear teachers complaining about that a lot too. I think that, you know, again, technologies are great tools, you know, for looking information up, especially in the classroom. But again, have a time when they can use it, you know, have everything sort of strategized a little bit instead of having them, you know, on them being the computers on all the time or the iPads on all the time. Just have them on sometimes, if you know what I mean. And just, you know, structure your class so that you have a time for discussion face-to-face, a time for when the teacher gives the lesson, and then a time when you can open up to, you know, to technologies and look for information if you want to, you know what I mean? So so I think, yes, definitely schools are sort of, they want to jump on the bandwagon of saying we want to make these technologies available to everyone so that they know how to use it. And there's some, you know, families, of course, that can't afford any at home, and that, of course, raises a whole different problem and question, and that's probably why some of the schools are doing it, I would imagine. However, still, I think it causes a lot of problems, you know, a lot more problems in communication than, you know, like direct face-to-face communication than perhaps, you know, even 5 years ago, even 2 years ago, I think, here in our section of Ontario, when there were no computers, when, my goodness, cell phones were not allowed in school. I still remember those days. That's a couple of years ago. But now it's all changed, so... So yeah, I see this as a real problem too, Virginia. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I love the fact you're saying. So you know, it's true. So not everybody has computers at their house.
Mm-hmm.
There's still people who just either they don't want them, or they can't afford to have them. And that brings up another issue because I know when I've been to my local library, which is where the parents would have to take their kids, depending on how many kids you have, they're going to each be signed up on a computer. In the library, and it's not like you can really have a conversation with your kid in the library because everybody's going to be going shh at you.
Yeah.
and usually they're pretty close together, like cubicles anyways. So there's another, you know, case in point where now you don't even have the open communication between parent, you know, helping to teach their students.
Right.
In that kind of a scenario, too. I mean, I'm not against computers by any means. I mean,
no.
You know, anybody who knows us at the World of Ink, I mean, we use a lot of computers for what we do, but it does... It does make it difficult,
yeah. You know, and then when you know children and teens get together, they can't communicate. You know, all they have is indirect kind of communication. So you know, they communicate, for instance, angrily, or they communicate, you know, in ways that are not well, that can be rude sometimes, or you know. So it's a real problem, I think, in causing children to not be able to communicate well. And some, of course, there's a whole stream of psychologists now that are saying that it also changes how a teen and a child thinks to him and herself, too. So that, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many distractions that kind of thinking, distracted thinking and sporadic thinking sort of infiltrates into how the person, you know, the teen and the child relates to herself and himself as well, and that again, you know, exposes the child and the teen to even more problems when they try to communicate with someone else because they're unable to communicate in those compassionate, you know, kinds of understanding, open kinds of ways, but it's all indirect. It becomes indirect kinds of communications,
mm-hmm.
which can cause a lot of problems, you know, with trying to make friends, perhaps, trying to keep friends, trying to you know, relate to even adults. You know, it's just, it becomes a problem on many different levels, you know. So, you know, it's all one of those things where we want to try and, you know, expose our teens and children to as much technology that is beneficial for them, but also limiting, you know, the amount of time that perhaps they spend on these gadgets, so that we can teach our children and our teens how to actually communicate face-to-face, right?
Yeah. Well, and it makes me think of, like, I know, what was it, Nickelodeon has
mm-hmm.
their, and they do it a lot, they do this definitely, they do it twice during the summer, where
right.
Nickelodeon will go off air. They will literally sit down, Nickelodeon will shut down every single one of its Nickelodeon channels, and they usually shut it off, I think, for like 2 hours. I don't think they do it for more than 2 hours. And so if you turn on the channel, it actually comes up and it says, you know, get up and move or whatever, or have like some,
mm-hmm.
some type of slogan, you know, if Nickelodeon's off the air, to, you know, so you can get up and move. And I thought it was really cool because I know parents for the longest time, and trust me, I know I was the TV junkie. The TV came on when I was a kid. You could have the news on. As long as the TV was on, my eyes were glued to it, and I was completely zoned out like a zombie to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents used to just, it drove them crazy. They hated talking. They'd have to go stand in front of the TV to get my attention when I was a kid. And I remember parents talking about that, like, oh, my gosh, our kids are watching too much TV, because that was a real problem throughout the 70s and 80s with children and the TVs.
Yeah.
And they were saying, oh, TV's like becoming the babysitter. And it's funny because as adults, we use technology so much for our own work and daily lives that we don't see it like we did TV.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't realize that. And I remember this happening with my kids when Nickelodeon started doing this. The second Nickelodeon would shut down, my kids would then go find, like, their DS, or they'd get on their Wii, or, you know, or find, you know, some type of electronical device of some kind to then play. And I'd have to come and say, no, the whole idea is to go outside and
yes.
go play and run around.
Exactly, exactly. Well, there's a whole problem of sedentariness, too, and obesity, right? Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, most kids and teens sort of sit down to, you know, to sort of to use these technologies. I mean, some of them, I guess, could be walking and texting, too. But a lot of them are either slowing down or sitting down or, you know. So there's this whole issue of obesity and sedentariness. And I know that's really the case
mm-hmm.
here in Ontario. And I'm sure it's the case probably all over North America and probably the world, is that these technologies have also caused people to be sedentary as well, because, you know, you can't... Not too many people can walk and text, or
mm-hmm.
they can walk and talk on their cell phone, obviously, and they do quite a bit, but texting has become almost more relevant, at least here, and more important than actual cell phone talking, you know, to one another on the cell phones. Has that been the way it is around your area, too, Virginia?
Yeah, it is, and I am, it's so funny because my son gets mad at me. So I don't always double-check it, but
right.
I have a smartphone that has the talk-to-text feature,
mm-hmm.
and so I use that a lot, and I will be honest, I'll just sometimes just talk into it and then hit tell it to send, and I don't make sure that my message, it got it totally clear, so my son's like, you used that talk-to-text thing, didn't you, because, you know, I had to, like, decode it, but
mm-hmm.
I prefer using that, because then I can text people. It's just like being on the phone, like having a conversation that I'm having now, but it sends it and, you know, puts into a text format. And so I can walk around or be shopping and be sending my text and be able to pay attention to what I'm doing. Or, you know, here's a big one. You know, texting and driving is, like, a huge issue. And last night, I kid you not, I was driving home, and there was a kid right next to me, and I kept watching him go into the gutter on the right-hand, because he was in the right-hand lane. I was in the left-hand lane.
Right.
And he kept getting really close to the gutter and bike lane. I'm going, what the heck? And I looked over, because I'm starting to think, again, you know, this person drunk, and I got side by side. I'm like, oh, it's a teen. Oh, and look, they're looking down at their lap, which meant they were texting while they're in the driver's seat. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, you know.
Yeah.
So I love the talk-to-text feature. And if phone, you know, if you have it on your phone, it's a great one, because I can do what I need to do, still, you know, be up moving around, taking care of my kids or whatever I need to do, and I'm not just sitting there texting back and forth. I can, to me, I feel like I have more freedom versus if I'm sitting there, you know, texting and I have to stop, you know, and just stand there and text so I don't screw it up.
Exactly, exactly.
Kind of thing.
Boy, I can't even imagine driving and texting. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
We actually had two teens who died because of that. They went into a turn and the kid was texting and he went off the road.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that happened.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible.
Yeah, it happens here too, sadly, quite a bit, especially in the spring, you know, when the weather finally gets good. A lot of kids and teens, especially teens, kids don't drive, not yet anyways, a lot of teens are in their cars and yeah, they're texting, sadly, and they're doing stuff like that, and I think they have a real blitz on for this spring because we had so many accidents last year with that very problem. Even distractions such as, you know, talking on your cell phone, we're not really permitted to do that here in Ontario. It is against the law, but of course people still do it, until they get caught, of course. The thing is that, any kind of distracted behavior is just something that no one should be doing, especially, I guess, young drivers that are just starting to drive. Should not be doing, should not be texting or multitasking, as they call it, and that is the whole idea of multitasking, of course, also is derived from technologies, is that we do so many different things at the same time. And again, that's not bad in itself. However, if it becomes a lifestyle, I guess, that's when it becomes a real problem, when we do nothing but multitask, then, all of a sudden we become distracted and sort of, we're not in the here often enough to have, at least in my opinion, a proper quality of experience in life, if you know what I mean. There are some times that we have to be, sort of connected and we have to multitask. All of that is okay. But if we do it all the time and it becomes a lifestyle, then we have kind of work towards not doing perhaps as much. I find myself the same thing, with my own life here in my office. A lot of times I'm emailing and I'm on the phone and I'm doing all kinds of things. And that's fine, too, when I'm trying to be productive and all of that. I do have times of the day where I have to do that. However, say for me, evenings are unplugged, mostly at least. And that's how I kind of cope with it. How do you do it, Virginia? Do you have times when you unplug as well as a family?
I would love to say that
probably
we unplug.
Not, eh?
Yeah, I would love to say that we unplug more than we do, but we don't. With my husband being an emergency responder, we're always plugged in, even when we're like out as a family shopping. It's really sad.
Yeah.
But we have to be because, his job is to save lives. So he's got to be constantly, tuned into what's going on. But, with my girls, we will try to, with them, we'll try and take a night out of the week where we play a family game together or we'll go somewhere together and, as you can hear Sabrina in the background telling me to look at something, or we'll try and go somewhere. As
oh,
a
she's
family,
so cute.
kind of thing to get out and not always be in front. We'll take the girls to the park or something. Now with our senior, it's a little different because he's now become an adult. So we're trying to let him live his life. And unfortunately, with our son, I guess he unplugs because he goes to school and not all his class. They have the smart boards and stuff, but he's not on the computer all the time for his classes. So the second he walks in the door, he's pretty much on his computer until he sleeps at night, either doing homework or gaming.
Yeah.
So unplugging him is really hard. What I do try and do is like when family's in town or we'll go visit his grandparents, he'll try and bring his computer. We tell him no. And he gets really mad at us because then he sits there on the couch looking at us going, I'm bored. I could be playing a game right now while you guys are just sitting here talking and I could care less about what you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
So we try and unplug him, but yeah, he's growing up, but he does. I can't say he's totally plugged in because he does do debate, and so he has to pay attention to current affairs, and he has to study for his policy attorneys and stuff. So he does unplug when he has to do that stuff. So he does get breaks from it, not as much as I'd like him to, but he doesn't do Facebook anymore. He's done with Facebook, so he is slowly toning stuff down.
That's progress.
Yeah, so it's progress, I guess. But I mean, he was born in the 90s, which is when technology was really a big part of kids' lives.
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, like how TV was in my generation, I think, you know, that's how computers started to become in there, because that's when, you know, the GameCubes came out from Nintendo, and I'm trying to think what the other one is. The was it PlayStations were really starting to get really more techie than they had been in the past. So
yeah.
So unfortunately he's oh, sorry, that was our dog. So unfortunately, he's from that generation from the, you know, big computer things. I think my girls are going to be better off because, yes, technology is around, but people are becoming more aware of, I mean, I hear it all the time just from authors in the industry and book publishers, and even marketers are like, I'm doing so much marketing. You know, it's like, oh, I feel like I'm doing, I'm just out there just, you know, promoting and marketing and social media, that because people are becoming aware of it, you know, like what you're talking about today on the show, I think our kids that are under the middle school age group won't be as bad as the kids we see right now in middle school and in high school, because we're getting more aware of the fact that we need to get back in tune with nature and, you know, find that balance again in life.
Mm-hmm. And I know schools are trying to do that. They are here too, you know, with little field trips here and there. And I know there's a few schools that are asking the, you know, the kids and the teens to leave their technologies either in their knapsack in the school or at home before they, you know, leave for these activities and these field trips, so that, you know, only one adult, for instance, can be plugged in, and she or he can. You know, can really be in touch with the world if they need to be. And, you know, we live in a world where we have to have that kind of access as well. Because, you know, you get in the middle of nowhere and you never know, you know, what can happen, obviously. But as long as, you know, teachers or people that are actually leading the field trips, you know, can actually be plugged in. But the students themselves should probably leave their technologies either at home or, you know, at school before they leave. So those kinds of things are happening too. So there's a whole movement towards unplugging at least for an hour or two, or for half a day or so. You know, at the school level as well. This is especially happening at the high school level. So you know, it's starting, I guess, and then things are sort of picking up that way. But obviously, you know, I think we've been plugged in for so long that it's probably going to be a little bit difficult to just unplug altogether, you know, and even if it is for those short little spurts, you know, like a couple of hours here and there. So, but I think that, you know, any time you can unplug is any time that you can be more connected, you know, to your surroundings, for instance, to nature, to each other, to your peers. You know, all of these things are great things, because otherwise, well, you're disconnected. You know, so I think there's progress being made, you know, but it's a slow kind of progress. And I know there's a lot of movements to limiting that kind of, you know, interaction and distraction. So hopefully it'll manifest itself into other things as well. So
what about stress, though? Because, you know, that's the one thing, too, when I think about just myself in general, and, you know, a lot of, for adults anyways, I mean, kids, it's different. Usually, you know, they're doing the gaming type stuff, so that's to them is relaxation. You know, and then the other time that they're usually on the computer is doing homework or something like that. So to them, they feel like, well, I go just from my homework to my gaming, and that's relaxation, so they don't feel the stress. But I think as adults, for us unplugging, I'm not saying it's still not important for our kids, because we need to teach them the balance, but, and the reason why is because as adults, you know, yes, you know, some of us play, you know, maybe the video games or whatever from time to time, but the majority of our time, I would like to say probably about 80% of the time we're on the computer, it's usually somehow job-related or trying to keep up on, or even if we think we're doing it for, you know, just social entertainment, you know, be it Facebook, following Twitter, you know, Twitter, or, you know, looking at all the different news media that's on the computer, whatever. I think because we're literally trying to,
I feel like that we take in more information because of the computer. And I was explaining to my kids, you know, that our brain, yes, it processes data, but it can't process data as quickly as a computer can process data. And
oh,
so,
yes.
You know, that's, you can get overload. And so I think adults get more stressed out without getting unplugged from now and then.
That's interesting.
Because we have so much information being shoved at us that we're trying so hard to keep up with it that our minds start racing. And so you basically, I feel this way, and I get this way every so often, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I need to take a day away, you know, and I'll just drop off the grid. And people
right.
freak out, like, oh, my gosh, you know, what happened to you? Like, I just didn't sign on to my computer at all for a whole day.
Yeah, that's healthy.
Break.
That's good.
Yeah, and I mean, I still get my emails pushed to my smartphone. I'll look at them, and if there's an important email, I'll take care of it. But I don't get on my computer. I don't log into anything.
Right.
Because I will start to feel, you know, my blood pressure rising, and I'll start feeling anxious, and like I'm running a mile, and I start realizing this is just because of all the information being shoved at me, and my brain's trying to quickly, you know, sort it out and figure out what's important, what's not important, what do I need to take care of. It's kind of like when people look at, like, you know, like you're in the hospital or you go on vacation, you come back and you have, like, that big stack of mail, and you're like, oh, my gosh, and you're looking at the house, and you start thinking all the things that need to happen,
yeah,
and you don't know where to begin, so you feel overwhelmed. I think we get that way when we don't unplug as adults as well, because
okay.
of all the information being shoved at us, that we don't know where to begin to start processing it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. I can absolutely relate to what you said, Virginia, because I have that a lot myself. I have Sundays are my unplugged days, like totally unplugged. I just don't put it on at all. I don't put it on my computer or my laptop. I just, and I do like you do, and, you know, if there's any emergency, I just, you know, look at my cell phone and make sure that there's nothing that I have to really get to right away. Otherwise, you know, if there is an emergency, of course, I do answer, you know, via my cell phone kind of thing. But, you know, the problem being is that the stress of having that much coming at us all the time, I think. And also, I've had to sort of compartmentalize my whole day so that I'm not always sort of plugged into email, because I find with myself it puts a real damper on my productivity, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If I, for instance, if I check email, you know, the first part of the day, well, then I won't be as productive as I would be, for instance, if I sat down and did some writing for 2 or 3 hours and then checked my email, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's just one of those things that I need. Otherwise, as soon as I put on the email, I can totally relate to what you said, Virginia, is that my blood pressure does go up, and I see all these things that I have to do and all these emails that I have to answer, because I, of course, have students as well emailing me and all kinds of other people too. So, you know, it's just one of those, it's a different mode. When I'm in writing mode, I'm in a different mode. When I'm in teaching mode, I'm in a different mode. And when I'm, of course, doing my email, I'm in a different mode. And I think the email mode, is a mode that's much more stressed for me. You know, it's just like, okay, I've got all these things to do. How am I going to find time to do them, you know, kind of thing. So, and also all the information that's coming at me as well, because I'm so research-oriented. I'm a researcher in philosophy and psychology, too. That's something I do in my spare time, so to speak. So it's... Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm contacted with through publishers. Other faculty members are contacting me. There's always something more to do, more to review. There's also always more information that I have to be looking at, that I have to be assessing, that I have to be, you know, sort of chewing on kind of thing. So yeah, I know exactly what that is. So what I try to do is I have a Sunday that, you know, I just sort of unplug, but I also unplug after 7 o'clock in the evening, you know, for the most part. Now, there are times there are exceptions when I'm running online meetings with my students or something like that. Well, then, of course, I am plugged in. But otherwise, after 7 o'clock, I try to unplug from the media and from emails, and I just read. So that's my reading time, sort of. So I had to structure my day so that I'm doing writing in the morning, technology kinds of things such as email and all that stuff in the afternoon, and then evening is, of course, for reading. So that's the way I do it, and of course afternoons are for teaching too as well for me, as well as some evenings. So that's the way I kind of structure it, and I find that when I finally did that probably about 4 or 5 months ago now, because I was totally overstressed myself. I feel a whole lot better. So I think that's probably what we can do as adults and as parents too. And probably if we were unplugged as parents, you know, even if it is for a couple of hours or a day or so, I think we'd pass that kind of stuff on to our children too, so that maybe then they would want to do the same thing, maybe not as long as us, but just sometimes, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And I love the fact that you break your day up into, you know, from this time is this and from this time is that, because I think mm-hmm. back when I worked in the retail industry, and you know, obviously technology was prevalent then, and it's probably worse now, and I'm probably glad I'm not in it. But I remember walking into the buying office as a fashion buyer, and, I mean, our phones were constantly ringing. We actually had a do not disturb button on our office phone so we could turn our ringers off.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, I mean, you wouldn't, and here's the thing, we wouldn't, as a fashion buyer, you didn't just get calls from your, you know, vendors trying to sell you stuff. You had vendors calling you because there was, you know, something happening with, you know, product line you ordered, from store managers and district managers calling you, all the way from your CEO and CFO calling you, the marketing department calling you. I mean, out of all the floors in fashion, I've worked for a number of different companies, big name companies. I mean, every single one of the buying floors, I think our phones rang more than anybody else's. It was insane. I remember walking in every day, and I had to say, okay, my morning hours were set for this, you know, around lunch I'd be doing this, you know, before I leave I'd do this, because if I didn't do that, I would spend all my whole day either answering emails or answering the phone and get nothing else done, because I'd be just putting out fire.
Right.
And I think about, you know, now that I'm out of that industry and, you know, running the World of Ink Network and stuff, and Marcia, and trust me, Marcia will call me sometimes and go, I've been trying to get a hold of you, you're not answering your phone, and because I'll literally turn off my ringer sometimes, and I'm like, if I don't, and there was one time there was an emergency, and I was like, if it's something like that, call my cell phone, because I'll pick that up, you know, but I have to turn my office line off, because if I don't, you know, I have everybody else calling, and has, you know, I don't know who's, you know, which one's important, which one's not.
Right.
Kind of call that I can maybe, it can wait like a couple hours or the next day. And I think it's so true, because, and the reverse side is, you know, we're also probably, and I'm sure people listening to the show are going, yeah, I understand that. But the flip side is when we're the ones trying to reach somebody, what's going through my mind is just like dire important. But I think back to, you know, I think back to like the late 80s and early 90s when I first got in the workforce, and you couldn't get a hold of people as quickly as you can now, because email was still pretty primitive. And I think back to that time, I'm sort of thinking, you know, there was a time when you send an email and people realized, you know, oh, it'll take them a couple of days to get back to me. Now if you don't get back to somebody within, like, 5 minutes of the email, they freak out. And I'm going,
I know.
Holy cow, my email's not up all the time. You know? And it's interesting. It's like our mentality has changed over the years, and I think that we need to – besides the fact that we need, you know, we realize we all need to unplug and get a break, we often do flip-flop and go, well, maybe the person I'm trying to get a hold of, this is their unplug time, and even though it's a diet, and if it's, and honestly, if it's that important, then you use the phone, you know, like I told Marcia, you know, if it's that important, call my cell, you know, because that's the one that I know to, you know, I never turn that off, because my cell's not always ringing, it's usually my office phone number or whatever. If my cell phone rings, I'm like, oh, you know, who's calling me? So, you know, to me, I'm like, it's the same thing with my husband. You know, I don't, if it's not something super urgent, I send him an email or I send him a text. If it's dire emergency, I call his cell, you know, a cell number. So in my mind, that's what goes through my mind. It's like, if it's so important, you need to hold that person right then and there. Don't send an email or a text and think, like, why are they getting back to me in 5 minutes? Pick up the phone. I just think we need to, you know, it's that whole prioritizing, not just prioritizing for our own sanity of our, you know, of all the information coming to us. I think it's also the reverse of realize that when we're trying to get a hold of somebody, we need to prioritize that, even though it seems dire emergency that we want to get the answer now. Is it life and death if you don't get the answer now? You know, I mean, obviously if it's something like, we have to make a decision. We have 1 hour to make the choice.
Right.
Yeah, that's a little different. But, I mean, if it's something that it's not going to make a big difference if in 5 minutes or tomorrow you hear back, don't stress about it if the person doesn't get back to you. I mean, because I think that's the thing. I think because then now you're pushing your urgency onto the next person, so it becomes a domino effect. So then we fall back into that, you know, overload problem again,
Oh, absolutely. And I guess a lot of people, I guess they don't really know what really maybe is truly urgent. You know, like certain things are absolutely urgent, you know, and other things, well, they're not, you know. So.
They feel it, but they might not be.
That's right. You know?
And I've had those because my husband's very good about calling me the psycho wife because something will happen and I'll flip out and he's like, really? And it's that whole spilt milk thing, you know, and he's like, really? Did you need to freak out? I mean, it's not a big deal. And I'm going, but it is. And he's like, no. And I, of course, look back later realizing that, you know, yes, I was probably a little psycho at the time. and that's, yeah. But I mean, that, unfortunately, I've gotten better because he points that out to me. But, you know, I think as in general, I think we do that, especially now with technology, we tend to, I think, freak out faster than we used to.
Well, because everything's so quick and instant, right? We figure that everyone has to answer us instantly, too.
Well, yeah, it's like that instant. I feel like instant gratification has become a way of life because of technology.
Yes. And I think, you know, in many ways it possibly, you know, caused that, in, you know, for want of a better term, you know. I think it's because, you know, we have everything at our fingertips and we have everything right there and it's right immediately available that, you know, if we email someone or text someone, well, then they automatically have to answer us. 5 minutes is too late. You know, people have to have times when they're unplugged and when they're not always answering somebody's call. If it's urgent, yes, please. I'm not saying don't answer if it's urgent. This is not what I'm saying, but I'm saying if it's not urgent, we have to be able to prioritize the non-urgent kinds of, you know, messages and communications with each other, because I think everything has become urgent so that when something is urgent, well, we don't know that anymore, right?
I mean, Marsha and I ran into this just recently where I just completely unplugged and she couldn't get a hold of me, and she needed to. She honestly really did. But I was just kind of in the whole mindset of I just needed a break and you know, just... And she couldn't reach me. I was unreachable. And I didn't tell her I was going to be unreachable. I just decided to become unreachable. And that was my fault. But, you know, again, it's one of those things. That's why I think, you know, obviously there you go. The communication was important. And, again, you know, understanding that even though I was needing to unplug, thinking that whatever was going to come up was not going to be as important as everybody thought it was going to be, unfortunately one thing ended up being that way. And I had that attitude toward it, too, at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, we're trying to sort of, you know, prioritize and trying to unplug. So I think if people knew that we were trying to do that, like people that are closest to us, like, you know, for Marsha, she probably knows that about you now, right, a little bit more than she did before. So she probably won't maybe freak as much, you know. And the same thing, you know, I find with my family, too. A lot of times when I unplug, they're used to or were used to me being there right away, and I was, you know, I have been telling them that I'm not going to be unplugging, especially, you know, my mother-in-law and sometimes even my husband, you know, just saying, there are times where I'm just going to be unplugged, so, you know, if you have something urgent, call me on my cell phone, you know, because I'm just going to unplug from telephones, I'm going to unplug from, you know, perhaps even being, you know, available in other ways, too, so, you know, they're people learn, I guess, from just telling them and showing them through your behavior that you actually need these slots of time available to yourself, you know, that you're unplugged, that you want to be unplugged, that you have to be unplugged, and that you will be unplugged, you know what I mean?
And a great thing to use, which is what I use in the business world, and I know you've seen the email because you email me, is I use my autoresponder, the vacation autoresponder, and I leave that on all the time. And it tells you what my work hours are and what from what time to what time. And and it says if it's an emergency, you know, here's the number to call.
That's right. Exactly.
Because, you know, you guys know, you know, as being host here at the World of Eat Network and back when we're writing stories for Children Magazine and stuff that, you know, you guys need to know you could reach me, but you also need to know when I wasn't going to just be readily available either.
Exactly. Well, you know, you could be available all the time and doing nothing else, right? I mean,
yes.
You could actually take over your life. You know, you probably get hundreds of emails. I know I do every day, you know, between all the different, you know, hats that I wear, professionally and not, that, you know, I guess, you know, you just have to sometimes be unplugged so that you can actually do other things, you know, such as live a bit and read a bit and write a bit and, you know, do other self-care too. Oh, my goodness, I forgot about that one. But, you know, we do have to take care of ourselves, you know, and otherwise we just, well, get sick and that's the end of that one, I guess. I have so many of my friends and colleagues that are really having serious illness issues because they really did not perhaps, you know, take care of themselves. At least a couple that I spoke to complained that they just never took the time to be them, you know, to unplug, to rest, to be away from family and friends for a while, to just sort of be, if you know what I mean. Even if it is for an hour or two, you don't have to go away for a week or two, you know, but just even if it is for an hour or two with the door closed or something, just something for yourself. It's so restorative and it's actually healing. So, you know, it's something that we all have to think about and do. And again, I think, you know, if we did that as parents, right, Virginia, I think it would sort of show our children that, you know, maybe they should be doing that too once in a while, you know, as opposed to being plugged in all the time. I mean, maybe not always, but sometimes, you know, that it is a pleasant thing to do. I think sometimes maybe teens and teens especially, I think, just kind of freak out when they're not connected, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They sort of have to be connected, otherwise they don't feel like they're there, you know.
Well, they think socially they're going to miss something.
Right. There's not a lot to miss.
It's funny too because I think back when I was a teen and I was so I don't know how I would be as a teenager nowadays, because when I was a teen back through the late 80s and early 90s, I went to school. School was my social time. I did. I actually loved going to school because that was my 6 hours of social time. hung out with my friends. I didn't look at it like I'm getting an education. I looked at it like this is time to go hang out with my friends and talk in class and yeah. So it was my social hours. So I'd go and hang out at school, you know, tell my friends, pass notes, you know, not pay attention in class like I was supposed to be. And then I'd come home from school and I actually hated talking on the phone, because that was the other big thing, because we didn't have cell phones. I mean, you're lucky as a teenager if you had a pager. So
I know.
The whole idea of a cell phone was like foreign, because only like really rich executive people had cell phones and they looked like big bricks. So no teenager wanted to carry the brick around. So,
no.
Yeah, so I hated talking on the phone, because the only phone we had, I kid you not, besides the one in my parents' bedroom, was the one in the kitchen. So if I wanted to be on the phone, I had to, like, wherever in the house could hear me anyways.
Yeah.
So I hated talking on the phone.
I know.
It was just not my thing, because, you know, as a teenager, you're lucky if you had a phone in your room. You're, like, cool if you had a phone in your room. So I hated talking on the phone. So I'd go home, and I actually deplugged from the world, because I was home. And home was home, and when I walked out the doors, and that was social time again.
Right.
And so I think about nowadays with the computer and smartphones, and most teenagers do have those, and everything else, I'm like, I don't know what I would have done as a teenager, because I actually used to unplug as a kid from, like, the primitive technology we had back then, that with technology now, I don't know, who knows what I'd been like. Oh, my, I can't even imagine. I was a terror anyways, so I feel sorry for my parents if I was growing up nowadays, because, I would probably be a monster, so... But I think that helps me with my kids, because I look at my kids, I'm like, well, you're home now. And like, well, no, I'm like, no. When I came home from school, I didn't even talk to my friends. I was home. I didn't even know what was going on until I got to school the next day. I said, so just think how exciting it is when you get to school tomorrow that you don't even know what happened. So now you have a lot of things to talk to your friends about versus showing up and going, yeah, I know. And they look at me like I'm insane.
Oh. Well, but it's true, though.
It is true. I mean, that's why I looked forward to school, because I was like, well, what happened? Why, you know, during those, you know, hours we were not away with each other, you know, what happened in the rest of, like, you know, the, was it 20 hours in the day or whatever, was it 14 hours in the day that you're away from each other, you know?
I know. Oh, dear. Oh, well, I guess it's the way things are sometimes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This is, it's a huge topic, obviously, and something that we can't, you know, cover in a short show. We will be doing other shows, of course, that are on along different lines, but to do with technology, too, in the future. However, maybe what I'll leave you people with is just a little bit on how to perhaps be more connected as a family, and then I'll leave it off to Virginia, too, to maybe add a few more tips, too, if she has a couple different ones. I think, you know, parents should try to sort of, you know, ensure that children and teens do have time to sort of connect with each other. So here are a few tips that I thought people can just try, whichever one works, whichever one resonates with you best. Try it for a little while and see what happens. The first thing I'm going to mention is something that will sound a little odd perhaps at first, but it's something that we haven't probably thought about very much because of our multitasking kind of culture that we have, is try to do one thing at a time, some of the time, not all the time. Just try and, maybe instead of watching TV and talking to one another, try doing one or the other. So you might have time when you're watching a movie with your family and other times when you're just connecting with each other. If someone comes into the kitchen and wants to chat, then, a good thing to do would be to perhaps stop washing the dishes if that's what you're doing and just pay full attention to the person that's in front of you, whether it's your child that you're talking to, or if you're a child and teen, your parent that you're talking to, or your family member, or a sibling, or a friend, whatever. Just try to talk to one person at a time and try to do one thing at a time. The next thing I try to think about is making mealtime special times with the family. So you might try some days at least to not be watching TV and eating, or texting and eating, or having technologies on the table and eating. Just try and unplug as much as possible, as often as possible. And the other thing is resist watching TV and talking to your family. So if you have something important to talk about, or even if it's nothing important, just connecting, even if it is for 15 minutes, and then you can watch TV all you like after that, but just sort of connecting intimately and openly as possible, and just see how that goes. And lastly, having a fun day, even if it's once a week or once a month with your family, where everyone is plugged off, and you can just enjoy each other's company. So you can do stuff such as going for long hikes. You can play games together, perhaps not computer games, but perhaps games, basketball or volleyball or badminton or tennis. Just something, do something as a family, and that'll also sort of put you together and keep you together. Do you have any other ones that you'd like to share, Virginia?
The one thing that my family and I have been trying to do, and I can't say we do it every day because sometimes our schedules don't mesh very well, but because unfortunately we are a 24-hour family. But no, we really are.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks I'm funny when I say that. I'm like, no, we really almost go about 24 hours around the clock. At least one of us is usually, up at those weird hours. So, but we do try and find when we can, and everybody's like not super tired and functional and has function in their brain and body at the same time, that we'll try and go for a walk as a family. Sometimes it's just my husband and I, sometimes it's just me and my kids, or me and one of my girls or something, but we unplug and we go for a walk. And what's nice about it is, one, with technology you tend to sit a lot, and so and sitting isn't bad just because you can put weight on if you're not up and moving around. But also, I recently have found out I have very bad blood circulation. And so for me, it's really important for me to get up and move around for my circulation and heart health.
Yeah.
And so as my, I've always had poor circulation, but it's actually getting worse as I get older, and I'm sure it's because of sitting from, being in front of computers a lot more in my adult life. Anyway, so to me, that's so important, I think, is, unplugging, even if you can walk for a half hour, it's good not just to be unplugged, but just for your own body. It needs that circulation. It really, it helps you process all the toxins that go through your body, and that's just, even if you're eating healthy, you still have toxins that, enter your body, and circulation is what improves it. So by getting up and moving a little bit, even if it's like stretching or doing yoga or something, just to get that movement through your body, I think is so critical. And it's a great time to do it with your family, or friends or loved ones or whoever, because you guys get to connect, again, in that natural physical way that, a lot of us aren't doing anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. We're living kind of in an artificial world a lot of the day, and so it's nice to be out and just about with family and friends, and I think even that's restorative in itself, you know. But then if you connect also by talking with one another, then that really helps too. So yeah, that's great. It's wonderful that, you know, we try to do that here as a family too. You know, sometimes we even take my mother-in-law in her wheelchair out for a walk around the block. Spring and summer, and she just loves it. She absolutely loves it. So I think, you know, anytime you can do that, all the more power to you. It's great. So, again, my website is www.empowermenttoolsandproducts.wordpress.com. I'll have a lot of information on there in the coming weeks. And we will be doing the Family Matters show every third Friday of the month, so we will be back next month for a lot more fun, right, Virginia?
Yep.
A different topic, and just trying to, just any final thoughts is just trying to, you know, keep parents and teens sort of communicating openly. Hopefully we as parents can inspire and motivate our children to be those open communicators at least some of the time. Not communicators that are indirect communicators, then when, you know, hopefully when you come face-to-face with someone, you'll be able to really talk to them openly and honestly and with understanding and compassion. So that's the goal anyways. Do you have any final thoughts and things to say, Virginia?
Nope. I was going to remind our listeners that we do have the Paranormal Hour on Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern, and we have The Edge on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern. So we do have shows going on this weekend if you want to tune back into the World of Ink Network at Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, well, thank you very much, everyone, for listening, and thank you very much, Virginia, for being beside me. You're always great.
Thank you.
And, we'll talk to you next month, and take care for now. Bye-bye for now, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Follow me to the World of Ink.